for WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Lamont Jack Pearly with the African American Folklorist. During my previous conversation with Lamont Collins, he shared with us the inspiration and importance of Roots 101 African American Museum. On this episode, Lamont shares the message that education matters. Were you a history major in college?
No, I was I played football at the University of Louisville. Matter of fact, I went to Western Kentucky my freshman year and transferred out to back to the University of Louisville. But no, I was a communications major, and I did Pan-African Studies as a minor. That's before they were giving Pan-African Studies degrees as majors. I had it as a minor. So, you know, so that instilled me a lot to Pan-African Studies. But I'm not a Pan-Africanist. I'm not a Pan-Africanist, but I am a lover of history.
For the young folk, as well as adults who either may not have the ability to go back to school or in school or whatever the case may be, wanting to get this information, wanting to feed this love of our story, what would be your first suggestion to them?
You know, I find there's so many good writers out there nowadays. There's so many brothers that are putting out so much good stuff. You know, I'm an avid, I love Karen Hunter. I love can't think of the guy that's from Howard University. The
one Dr. Carr?
Dr. Carr, love them. You know, I stay away from, you know, I think like anything, this generation goes down videos and rabbit holes. So I'm not much in videos and rabbit holes because it can take you somewhere that's not the place to go. So I try to find educational writing or educational videos that have substance to it. But every rabbit hole video, every conspiracy theory, I don't aspire to or get to know. But I think there's plenty of knowledge out there because there's so many brothers out there that do the work. You know, University of Louisville has Ricky Jones and Brandon McCormick. Vanderbilt University has some strong brothers. There's so many brothers out there telling this story and so many sisters, too. So I just say be open to it because, you know, it used to be a time we always was told education matters. But now we're getting degrees. Now white Americans saying education doesn't matter. We can't fall for that trip. Education matters. And I'm working with the school system now to tackle our history 365 days a year. That way a kid knows he can do math. He came from math. He can do astrology. He came from astrology. He can do sports because he came from sports. We came from those things. But to you let kids understand and open their minds to that, it seems so limit that they can do it, but really it's limitless what we can do because we've done the impossible in America, the impossible. So my thing is to just teach, learn, educate, and then keep re-educating. Because I think this, Lamont, if you know you come from royalty, think about this, you walk different, you talk different, your accountability is different, your respect to your women are different because you're carrying royalty with you. Now the brothers are wearing the hairstyle and don't understand what comes with the hairstyle they're wearing. So that's what I'm about. You know, I can stand on Route 101 any day of the week knowing that we're doing the right thing. And what we're doing will change this city and change, you know, and change the world. I mean, I know God's called me to do something special, and that's what I'll do. You know, that's what I do.
You made mention to the term, the word accountability. I have to ask you this.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we hear the blame it on the system, the blame it on the white man, the blame it on the this and the blame it on that. How important is it, again, for us to take accountability for behavior, tradition, our narrative, everything?
It is everything. And coming with responsibility, you know, you have to look in the mirror and find out what you're accountable to. You know, we can't, you know, white man use the word black on black crime. But whether we use the word black on black, it doesn't matter. It's brothers killing brothers. So however you put it, the pain and what's going on in our world is true in our community. And we got to walk away. Money can't be more important than someone's life. It just can't be. It never was. It should never be. But that's, again, changing the culture and the narrative that we're listening to. That means you have to cut off, you know, I don't know, half these rappers out there. But if that rapper's talking that street game and that hookah and the whores and the sisters are talking about the WAP, kind of shut all that down. You know, you only have to take one, Tyler Perry had, what's his main character?
Madea.
There's only so many Madeas. I'm tired of looking at Madea on TV screen. I'm tired of looking at every black woman has to be an angry black woman. We have to change that narrative. And if you think what's going on now, just think about this. This is what gets me now. Now we're talking about the black queen. And I'm married to a black queen, been supportive of strong black women all my life. But we cannot allow the narrative to be all about black women and let black men fall back, because kings have to still lead. So if we still take this narrative that it's the woman's time, what does that mean for black men? It's time for women. When was ever time for black men? So if we're going to move this thing together, we have to move things collectively together. We can't buy into this, I'm going to divide them up, and this is going to do, you know what I mean? We can't fall for the okey-doke. We can't fall for it. And that's what we're allowing this to do, even during this time of Black Lives Matter. Like I said, Black Lives always matter. But it didn't matter in the content of what Black Lives Matter said their statement is.
Mm.
Right?
Right. Right.
It didn't. So, but we're supporting Black Lives Matter, but are you supporting the statement that it says it is? You better read and understand. And I'm always going to be a Black Lives Matter brother. But still, you have the sense of what you're saying and what you're supporting. I'm supporting because who we are. Right. But I'm putting the correct narrative to what Black Lives Matter mean. Right. It's family that I grew up with. It's the mother. It's the father. It's the son. It's the, you follow what I'm saying? It's that way of life that I grew up with. I know life has changed. Don't get me wrong. And things have changed for a reason. But still, the structure of who we are has not changed. You know, that's one thing about the black community. We're more religiously connected than any culture in the world. But even though we're spiritually connected, we can become morally corrupt. And we justify it within the culture that we live in.
Mm.
You can't justify the music. You can't justify the song. We can't do that. And one thing about our forefathers before, they wouldn't allow you to do that. Come here, boy. Let's sit down. Come here. You know what I mean? There was accountability and responsibility to that, to who you was as a colored man.
Yeah.
You had responsibility to that. You didn't do things to each other because you was a colored man. You was a black colored woman. And this was our responsibility to excellence. What happened to our responsibility to excellence? I don't know, but I know I'm here to bring it back. Because we should never lost it. And we haven't lost. We got more black kids going to HBCUs than ever before. We got more black millionaires than ever before. But what are we doing collectively with the wealth that we have achieved? And how we achieve that wealth if we corrupted the moral corruption of our people?
Well, with that being said, I have to ask you, coming up on the birthday of Breonna Taylor, as well as local bills are being passed and going to the floor to be voted on about no-knock warrants, which I believe is called the Breonna Taylor bill now, the George Floyd situation and everything that happened during quarantine. The museum is pretty much located at Ground Zero. Share with us the role you yourself and the museum played to somewhat be a bullhorn to this injustice and how everything has happened from up until this point.
You know, I'm not sure if we were a bullhorn or we were a compassionate center. What I mean is that hurt people hurt people. And I think as an ancestor, older ancestor, I went down to teach. I went down there and talked about, okay, protesting is nothing to the city of Louisville. Everybody, what do you mean? I said, in Louisville, Kentucky, Martin Luther King's brother lived here in Louisville, Kentucky. His name was A.D. King, was a pastor of a local church. Anytime something went down in 68, 67, 64, A.D. King called Martin Luther King, and he came to Louisville. He was a phone call away. So in the protest, and people coming from out of state to Louisville to lead protests went back all the way to the 60s, when Until Freedom came here, and they didn't even understand the history of what history to Louisville was, right? That we've always connected to leaders outside our community. It was a tradition in Louisville. Matter of fact, Portia Williams, I think her name was, the Real Housewife of Atlanta. I showed her, well, her grandfather, Odessa Williams, I might say his name wrong, Oasis, I think, Williams, was here protesting 40 years before she came down here, 50 years before came down here, right? So she didn't even know the history of it was in her blood, but she didn't know the history of her family that already been connected to Louisville. So what I did with the square, it's educate people that know, like the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun, King Solomon. And as black people, there's nothing new that we have not done. Protest has always been a symbol of progress for us. But what they're doing now is still what we've done before. We had to protest in order to have progress. The difference now versus then, what I tell young people when I went down there was a spiritual connection to what we were doing. There wasn't an individual leadership connection where I'm going to get this, you're going to get this. No, it was centered, okay? It was spiritually centered. No matter which way you went, it all came back to the center of the call. And that's what I teach these young people. Now, whether they listen, I don't know. Some of them seem to listen. They come back and say, tell me more. But my role as an elder is to tell that story. Because the way the devil will defeat anything is to separate. And we got so many people. Well, they from Louisville. They're from New York. All I do as a museum is bring it. Look, this is nothing new. People always came from somewhere else. People have better resources than you. Better connections to you. You don't get mad because they can call Will Cannon in. You can't get mad because they can call Will Smith's wife in Louisville. What you get mad about? If the struggle's about the struggle, if the movement's about the movement, nobody's bigger than the movement. That's why it's a movement. And that's what I teach young people. It's about the movement. And that's my biggest thing, is drawing them back from the individuality of who they are, because this culture is designed to be individuals, right? So if we can tap these individuals and take them a different direction, the mission of the mission will never happen. Because you got to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's my role as Route 101, is always keeping the main thing the main thing. And that's what we do.
So let me ask you, outside of preserving and platforming and sharing our narrative, what would be one thing that you want the people to receive from your works and the museum, Roots 101, that may not be front and center?
I think I always use this proverb, and I change it a little bit. It says, the greatest king plants shade trees, knowing he'll never sit up under. My role at Roots 101 is plant trees of wealth, trees of knowledge, trees of unity, trees of education. My thing is to plant these trees so young people can sit up under them one day and know that their shade trees there to protect them. That's what my role. My role will not be defined within the next 6 or 7 months. It'd be defined if I plant enough trees for these young people to sit up under. That's the definition of Roots 101.
Well, Brother Lamont, I just want to say it's been a pleasure to be able to talk to you on the African American Folklorist about all the great and wonderful works you're doing, as well as this monumental museum, which I've seen physically and plan to go back with my kids.
Well, I tell you, when you come back, you're going to see stuff you didn't see before, because God's about to do something amazing for Roots 101. And I just want more people to support us, because as long as we can control our narrative, we control our dollars, and nobody can ever stop our narrative.
Thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Lamont Collins, the owner and operator of Roots 101 African American Museum. Be sure to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 a.m. Central Time and 9:35 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for our segment during the weekend edition. For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Lamont Jack Pearly, and this is the African American Folklorist.